And coming here to proclaim, to observe this Feast of Tabernacles, we proclaim a message of hope to the entire world. The message that we bring is about the millennial reign of Christ and God's kingdom. That will be a kingdom of peace and hope and love. This message is about the end of war, the end of hunger, the end of disease, the end of Satan's influence on mankind. We, in keeping these feast days, picturing the plan of God, proclaim God's message for him to the world as a warning and as instruction to the world around us. We are God's messengers here in these last days. There's a similar sort of warning system established in the United States that ran from 1963 up until 1997. Really, doesn't seem like that many years ago. The television networks and stations and FM radio stations all participated in the emergency broadcast system. Most of my memories of this come from childhood when there were only three networks that you could see, and living in the countryside in Mississippi, you really only could watch one of those, and even it was probably a little fuzzy most of the time. Occasionally you could get the other ones, you know, if you stand with one hand on the TV and one in the air, you could watch a program maybe on one of the other networks. But they were the TV stations were required to weekly run this emergency broadcast system message in the event of a national emergency. Most of you probably remember this. They would come on and say, "This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test." Then you would hear that tone. That sort of annoying tone, that it was an attention signal, so it was meant to be annoying, meant to, you know, sort of vibrate through the house, especially if the TV was turned up very loud, get everyone's attention. I thought about trying to find some way to play that tone for you, but then I see no reason to have 400 plus people mad at me at the same time. That they would play the tone would get your attention. This usually when you went to, you know, make a snack or something. Because back in this day, the commercials usually only lasted about 30 seconds. This lasted for a minute. So you had this message that was going to be there. It was going to be there for a little while. You could get a snack, you know, get you something to drink out of the kitchen. Didn't pay that much attention to it. But while that EBS system was never officially activated on the national level, the reason for it was all too clear. It would have signaled the start of war, or the threat of war, or a grave national disaster or crisis. And so you'd kind of go on about your business, and while the tone played, and when the tone was over, they still would announce, you know, once again, that this has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. Broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of emergency. Said if this had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for news and official information. It would tell you that this then concludes this test of the emergency broadcast system. God set up an emergency broadcast system for the nation of Israel. Numbers chapter 10. If you would go with me there. Numbers chapter 10. And we have the first 10 verses here, the information regarding the trumpets that were to be arranged. In verse 2 of Numbers 10, he says, make two silver trumpets for yourself, and you shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camp. So these were not just for a war, a crisis. These were also to move the encampment around. And then goes through in the next several verses there of the different sounds that were to be made and what those would meant to the congregation. And in verse 10 it says, also in the day of your gladness and your appointed feast, and at the beginning of their months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So God set up this emergency broadcast system test for the nation of Israel. We're still doing that work today. We're that warning system for the world, taking the job that was given to Israel that they were not able to accomplish. Over in Exodus chapter 18, we see that God intended for Israel to teach the rest of the world. And the fact that they weren't really able to follow God's commands themselves well enough, but God had initially intended for them to teach the rest of the world. Here in Exodus chapter 18, and in verse 20, it says, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. So we're to be teaching the world through our example here in keeping God's holy days and this Feast of Tabernacles here. The word here that is translated teach, in my New King James Version, you shall teach them. Most translations will translate this word as teach. But the Hebrew word is zahar. It can also mean to warn. But it can also mean to instruct. It can mean to admonish. So we're to admonish, to warn, to instruct, to teach the world God's ways. Part of the nation of Israel's duty was to warn of lawbreaking, of the problems in lawbreaking. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Down in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 19. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, this is whether of bloodshed or offenses against the law or commandment, against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them. That's that same word, zahar. You shall admonish, instruct, teach. Give them an example that they should obey laws. You shall warn them lest they trespass against the Lord, and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. So God's laws are there in part to warn the world of what is to come. And we follow that. We do that by keeping God's holy days today. I know that we've enjoyed a few good meals, enjoyed the beach weather, enjoyed our accommodations. But we're an example to the world around us. And they pay more attention to us than a lot of times than you think. In Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19, down in beginning in verse 7. Let's actually begin in verse 8. Psalms chapter 19. You're there, I'm still turning. Let's start with verse 8. The statutes of the law are right, rejoicing the heart. We're known that we're to come here at the Feast of Tabernacles to rejoice, to learn to rejoice before God in keeping His commandments. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So that's a way of instructing. It's to open our eyes to see how God's law is perfect. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord, judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Then notice in verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned. Once again, that same word, kahar, is warned, is taught, is instructed, is admonished. And in keeping them, there is great reward. And we understand that. Those of us who have been in the church for many years definitely understand that there is much value in keeping God's laws. So God has this early warning system then for mankind. That our EBS system, emergency broadcast system, sort of intended to be able to warn the nation in case of war. We now understand that that war would have, you know, that would have been probably the big war, the, you know, nuclear bombs dropping is what we, if it had to have been activated, is what the ultimate meaning and use for that EBS system was. Man's system, though, although it worked from, like I said, from 1963 up to 97, quite a bit of runs. We were replaced by that emergency alert system that comes in on our cell phones, you know, usually terrifies us. Especially if you're driving through a thunderstorm and it comes on and tells you there's a tornado in your area. That's a fairly terrifying announcement. But man's system was to have, found to have a flaw or two, although it was designed to be a means to provide solid facts in the event of a national catastrophe. Back on February the 20th, 1971, it was actually activated by mistake. It was activated in error. And it was noticed by those who activated it pretty quickly, although it still took them about 20, 25 minutes to get the message out that, no, this was a mistake. We did not intend to activate the system. What was the effect of that system being activated? I didn't remember that this actually happened. I don't imagine too many people really ever knew that actually happened. One reason why we didn't know that it actually happened is that it was largely ignored. Only one in five stations that received the warning acted on it. Now, if you want to make an excuse for them, they probably thought it was a mistake because it came at the time of a scheduled test. But only one in five actually acted on it and stopped their broadcasting and went to their emergency measures. The world around us largely ignores us, even though we are trying to warn them. God's warning system does not give false warnings until individuals try to make it say what they want it to say. God does not warn us falsely. There was another aspect then, as we mentioned about the EBS system. It was that wording that they had is, if this was an emergency, you would get some valuable information. God also wants to provide us with some life-saving information. Leviticus chapter 26. Let's just check chapter 26. And just a few verses here through the first part of Leviticus chapter 26. Verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Valuable information. Life-saving information. Verse 4. So then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Valuable information, life-saving information. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. Tremendous blessing in keeping God's Sabbath. And then one more verse here, Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. Probably one of the most important things that we should gain from the information God gives us. It says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Valuable information. Life-saving information. Another aspect is that even though we are here to give a message of instruction, of warning to the world around us, some of us will be tested by some very serious trial to prepare us for the time that this feast pictures in the future. God will let us be tested. Jeremiah chapter 9. Just one verse here, verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 9. I'd like to read this out of the NIV. It says, therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will refine and test them. For what else can I do because of the sin of my people? So because there has been sin, you must be refined, you must be processed, tested. You must overcome to be able to make it into the kingdom of God. Jeremiah chapter 17. One verse here, verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. A reason to keep God's laws. The world should know about. And we're here demonstrating that for them during this Feast of Tabernacles. Lamentations chapter 3. God wants to test us, to purify us, refine us, to be able to, for that we can go and rejoice before Him in His kingdom. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40. Valuable information. Let us search out and examine our ways. Let's look at our own self in that way. We're part of that process of the holy days through the year in it. Part of that, one of the earlier parts, to search out our ways, isn't it? And in doing that, it says, and turn back to the Lord. The Bible tells us that there are people who will understand. Daniel chapter 11. the book of Daniel, chapter 11. There are individuals in this end time who will understand what this means, what it means to keep God's holy days and keep His Feast of Tabernacles. Let's begin down in verse 33. And I wanted to read this from this paraphrased version of the Bible. Sort of clarify just the effect of the words here. Verse 33 of Daniel chapter 11. It says, "Those wise teachers will help the other people understand what is happening. But even they will have to suffer persecution." So we will have trials, won't we? Even if we understand what is happening. "Some of them will be killed with swords. Some of them will be burned or taken prisoner. Some of them will have their homes and things taken away." Verse 34, "When those wise people are punished, they will receive some help, but many people who join them will be hypocrites." Verse 35, "Some of the wise people will stumble and make mistakes." We will. "But the persecution must come so that they can be made stronger and pure until the time of the end. Then at the right time, the time of the end will come." In Zechariah chapter 13, we see this, that even those who understand, even those of us who know why we are here, we'll have to be tested, to have to be further purified to make it into God's kingdom. Zechariah chapter 13. And down in verse 9, it says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. But one-third shall be left in it. I will bring the one-third through the fire. Will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested." "They will call on my name, and I will answer them." Notice, "I will say, 'This is my people.' And each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" That's what we have to be brought back to through our testing. In 1 Peter chapter 4, down in verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So we see that God had set up a warning system, that we're still carrying that forward to the world by keeping God's holy days, by being here at this Feast of Tabernacles, by going out and enjoying this beautiful, beautiful meeting hall here. And this is breathtaking, this the meeting hall that we have here, the accommodations, the food, the fellowship. As we get a little older, the fellowship becomes more and more sweeter, doesn't it? As we just look so forward to that, getting back to the feast and having that beautiful fellowship with the brethren here every year. God, through His holy day plan, is providing us and the world with life-saving information. Things are is able to yes, help us in our physical life, but to save our spiritual lives from destruction. The emergency broadcast system came on, as I said, after that very annoying tone goes through. It comes through and tells you that the test is concluded at this point in time, and that you'll be able, had it been an actual emergency, there'd been other information, but this test is concluded for the time being. We're at the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles test is concluding today. We have come to the end of this particular Feast of Tabernacles. God also wants us to understand that though we go through some trials and persecution as we bring His warning, His admonition, His instruction to the world, that this tabernacle's pictures will be the culmination. This is what we're looking forward to for the whole world. Not just for us, but for the whole world. God intends to end the suffering. Mr. Kubik's message yesterday so clearly portrayed that difference between what the world, the problems that are in the world, and how those are to be solved, things that are to be corrected. Things will not be that way in God's kingdom. In Revelation chapter 3, we have a promise of God given to us. Revelation chapter 3, down in verse 10. It says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth." So by being tested today, by being instructed and admonished today, we're promised to be able to avoid a much stronger test, a much more difficult test that will come upon the world, because they will have to be purified to see who will make it into God's kingdom. So we see here on this last day of this Feast of Tabernacles 2015, that God has set up a warning system, an emergency broadcast system for the world. Like the world, like the emergency broadcast system test in 1971, it's largely ignored. Just a few people are paying attention to the warning now. Probably not much less than 1 in 5. God will save His people. Today He warns those who will listen to Him about the danger that will be coming just ahead. He provides to those who will follow His laws and commandments with vital information that they will need to not only be able to survive, but to grow, to become stronger, become ready for the kingdom of God. God will allow us to go through some trials that we may be able to partake in the fulfillment of this feast, that wonderful world tomorrow, that time of peace, a time without disease and hunger, without war, a time filled with love. God is faithful then to bring to conclusion this test for mankind, and it's coming quickly. The end of the misery of this world that is led by the influence of Satan the devil. And God will establish His kingdom here on this earth. The Feast of Tabernacles is a window then window into the millennium and into God's kingdom. It's also a test. The test is to find out who will rejoice before God in keeping His commandments and in keeping His laws. So I hope you enjoy your Feast of Tabernacles here and enjoy the last great day. We've come to the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles and the end of this particular test. This is only a test.